Amen. For our sermon text today, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. It is the 12th Sunday of Pentecost, and we'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, which should be familiar to each and every one of us. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. On the Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent them away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" But they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you is invited by him. And he who invited you both will come to you and say, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he said to the man who invited him, "When you gave a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or the rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repay. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, this is your word. May we honor it. May we allow your spirit to speak and men and flesh to be silent. May we be strengthened by this word. And may we understand who we are in and through this word. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. So, there's two points within this text. And I find them pretty interesting, actually. Really, one is about the Sabbath, and the other is about position. And I think, really, we need to understand the first before we can truly understand the second. And so, when we talk about the Sabbath, we kind of get carried away in that area, and I'm not saying I have any great intellect. But how do you consider the Sabbath? What do you consider it to be? I mean, is it really 28 minutes on a Sunday? That completes the Sabbath? You know, in other words, you know, Pastor Jesse's going to get up and he's going to preach, and to keep it on the radio, we try to keep it within 28 minutes. So that'll be our Sabbath, and then we can go out to eat. And then we can go visit friends, which is awesome. I'm not making fun of any of this. But it's interesting, because if you were to take a real Israelite understanding of the Sabbath, you aren't to kindle a fire, you aren't to do any exchange, or anything like that. You cannot use monetary funds. And there are some Jewish individuals that have actually come to a point of saying, well, you know, if I don't use cash, and I use a credit card, I can still go out to eat, and I'm not paying for it today, I'm paying for it later. You know, and we can smile, we can chuckle and say, well, that's just trying to work around the rules, because that's what they believe very strongly. They're very strict in this area. But the fact of it is, we have a tendency to do the same thing. In our human nature, especially in the conservative group, maybe you're not from the group and you don't understand, but our roots come back very strongly to the point of, well, you know, television was considered very wrong. You know, my wife was raised in a home that never had a television, and I'm not making fun of it. I think maybe we could be better off for it in a lot of ways. But for some reason, when we even go down those roads, you could go, as I talked about a few weeks ago, well, you can have a VCR and a monitor. That's okay. Or we can have a computer. Or, as I even mentioned, we can have a cell phone. So the reality of it is we try to draw our line in the sand. But what is the Sabbath day? You know, really, in the understanding of what it would mean to the Israelite, means no work is done, complete rest, even quiet. You know, they wouldn't even prepare a meal except for they would prepare it before the Sabbath and they would try to keep it warm. There was many different ways that they could do that. But they took it that seriously. So the Sabbath mainly meant to pull away from everything. So then we come to this point. This is the third time that Jesus, we can see even in the Gospel of Luke, heals on the Sabbath day. And this is considered a big no-no. You don't do this. In fact, we find another Pharisee in another part of the scripture that says, you know, there's 6 days a week that we can do this business. Stop coming around on Sunday. Actually, Saturday for them, but I'm so used to Sundays now. And then often we have an understanding where people turn the Sabbath into a specific day. They say we are the correct ones because we worship on this specific day. We take the Sabbath on this day. It's not about a day. God could choose any day he wanted. We take it all the way back from Genesis, that 6 days he created, on the seventh day he took a rest. And we take this so literal. What would happen if God actually stopped doing everything? If he stopped. Can you imagine, literally, if God took a day off? Who would hold this world in its spinning motion? I don't know what the right word is for that. I'm not a scientist. Orbits. The perfect tilt. It even says in the scripture that in Christ, all things consist. Everything is held together. The Sabbath day is not about worshiping a day. The Sabbath is not about what, you know, in reality, man can do for that day. It actually tells us in the Gospel of Mark that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not something that we take and worship or idolize that single day. Sabbath is much more than that. If I could say it, Sabbath is a rest and a contentment. And I'm going to give you the disclaimer already. It's in Christ. That's the Sabbath. Jesus is the ultimate Sabbath for us. He is our rest. He is our contentment. He is our peace. We're going a little ahead of our message on that, so we better go back to the beginning of this one. So on this Sabbath day, this day of rest, he went to dine in the house of a Pharisee. They called him. They invited him. Come on in. And it's kind of interesting, right? Because when he comes into the room, what does he find? Actually, something he shouldn't find, especially amongst lawyers and Pharisees. Someone with a disease. This man would be unclean to them. But the ends justifies the means with human beings and their fallen nature. We will do things that we never thought of before because we just want to get what we get. They were trying to entrap Jesus. They tried this on many occasions. But when he walks into the room, he sees a man there with dropsy. Basically, this is a fluid retention. This man would swell up like a balloon in certain areas. He was retaining water like crazy, and it was painful. And it's interesting. They didn't care about this man. They wanted to see what Jesus would do. Do we have that heart sometimes as human beings, as fallen human beings? Do we ask questions or put people in positions or even maybe, you know, leaders or, I mean, we see this on the news all the time where they're trying to ask a question to goad somebody down this road. It's like me as a pastor, and I'm not saying I don't want people to ask me questions, but let's be honest about it. There's some people that'll come up to you and say, what do you think about this text? And they'll say the chapter and verse. Well, first of all, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have the whole Bible memorized. I just don't. You might. That's awesome. Praise God for that. Luther had his children memorize Romans because he felt it was so important. They had the whole book memorized. I don't. But Luther's not my daddy. But there's some that do that, and then I just turn around and I say, well, you obviously have opinion on it. Why don't you share it with me? And then at least I get to find out what the chapter and verse is. But do we do that? Are we seeking sometimes in our fallen nature, thinking we're on God's side, because that's what the Pharisees thought, trying to set somebody up by asking a certain question in a way? But they were definitely trying to set up Jesus. There's no doubt about that here. So the Pharisees were watching him. See, that's the indication. They're watching. Huh, what's he going to do here? What's he going to do? And behold, there's this man that had the dropsy, and Jesus, he sees this, so he asks them a question. Is it lawful to heal on a Sabbath day? And the ultimate answer would be yes. Because the examples that he gives after he does the healing is actually what the scripture would call for back in that time. If your ox was in a well, you had all liberty to go get it. If your child was in mortal danger, you don't say, gotta wait till after sunset before I actually do something for you. There was these liberties given for the betterment of the people. But they wouldn't answer. You notice that? When people know that they're not in the right position, oftentimes they remain silent. I will. My wife asked me, did you eat that last piece of cake? I'm going to remain silent. My belly will give it away. Or if I was Kyson, it'd be the chocolate frosting on my face that would give it away. But the fact of it is, so he asks this question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day or not? Another area he'll ask, is it lawful to do good or evil? But they remain silent because they don't have an answer. We know the common answer would be, see somebody in need, help them. Help them. I could ask it to you a different way. Is it lawful for you to go to a bar room? Oh, here goes Three Bear Aho again. If there's a need, and you got to go and help somebody and share the gospel or get them out of a situation, yes. Doesn't mean you partake. See, this is where it gets real to us. We see accounts back in Jesus' time and we separate ourselves so far from it. But if there's someone in need and we are the body of Christ, we are to answer to those needs. It doesn't mean, if we could say it this way, that we take part of the issues that are going on, of the struggle, of the sin, but it's never wrong to help. My wife and I, we went through a struggle in the last week, and it's not public, it's not about us, but the point is, my wife said that she wanted to reach out. And I was actually kind of blown away. She said, if you don't mind. And I just told her, I said, hun, you never need permission to do the right thing. And it just made me stop and think about this message a little bit when she asked that question. I love the respect. I love the reverence. I love that she didn't want to complicate things more. But it's never wrong to do the right thing. And that's what Jesus is trying to bring them to. But when you worship the system more than you do the Creator, we can often find ourselves doing the wrong thing. Jesus doesn't wait for them to answer because they're not going to answer. He understands and knows that. But you know the awesome part of it is, this man's destiny was not held in the Pharisees. Our destiny is not held in other people's hands. It's in Christ Jesus. So they remain silent. He took them and he healed them. And what does he do? He sends them off. Honestly, because he didn't belong there. The Pharisees, in their right mind, they're Pharisees with the integrity of the laws that they follow, would not hang around with this guy. Because he would be considered unclean because of his illness. And they don't need to impact him anymore. So then he turns and he asks this other question because they're not willing to answer. And he asks the question very openly. He says, which of you having a son or an ox has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day will not immediately put him out? In other words, you're going to go get him. You're going to pull him out. And the answer to this is nobody. We all would do this. You know, your son or your daughter is playing out in the yard and, you know, you told them not to play with the hatchet for many times, but for some reason, young boys, they just love to play with hatchets. I did this. And I was going to chop down a tree, and for some reason, how do you hit your own hand chopping down a tree? But I did. When I went running into the house with my side cut, I still got a scar there. My dad didn't say, we got to wait until Monday to bring you to the doctor's. This is how real it is. See, I like to follow Dave Ramsey. Smooth transition here, hey? I like to follow Dave Ramsey. I'm not good at it, but I like it. And so Dave Ramsey's always telling you, you know, you got to live like nobody else so later you can give like nobody else. And so my point is, that's a great advice. But my neighbor needs help today. Yeah, I may have debt in my life, but someone has a need today. I'm not going to say, well, when I'm debt-free, I'll come back. When someone's in need, we don't say, I'll wait until all the stars line up. Everything is perfect. It's not a Sabbath. Because we don't worship the Sabbath. In the full spectrum, we do, because it's Christ Jesus. He's our Sabbath. But anyways, we'll get to that. And so they couldn't answer him. And so this is the reality of it. When they could not reply to these things, it kind of makes the room a little uncomfortable. So Jesus is going to go into a parable. But basically, we want to go back to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, where it says, in reality, he says that the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. He says, and then he also says, verse 27 of chapter 2. In addition, he says to him, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He says, so the Son of Man, that's his given title, is Lord even over the Sabbath. Do you remember David? Where he actually went and ate the showbread? He went and he went into the priest's area, and he was running from Saul, and he was desiring food because he had nothing. And there is bread that is put out on the altar, and it has to be there for a week before it can be taken away, and then after that, only priests get to eat it. But yet David, in his urgency and his struggle, was probably manipulative, and he went and he ate that bread. Because it was about sustenance, it was about surviving. And so those things actually became quite pliable because of the circumstance. And this is all that he's trying to bring out. But the Pharisees are using this situation, trying to get Jesus into a bad spot, where he's saying very plainly to him, don't you understand and know? I am Lord of this. I kind of think it's interesting. I talked a little bit in the beginning of saying, when does God really take a day off? And I'm not trying to go against Genesis. It means he rested. It means that he found peace. But let me ask you a question. What does God find peace or satisfaction in now? In Christ Jesus. He says, this is my beloved Son. In what? In whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus is the satisfaction for God the Father. And he is, in reality, our peace, our rest. And it's kind of interesting because maybe some of you haven't been parents yet, so I apologize for this, but the fact of it is, as parents, when are we really at peace with our family? When they're in front of us. When they're in our presence. In other words, when you were raising your children and they were 16 and 17 and they were going out and they're doing the things at night and you said, you got to be in by midnight. When did we really relax? At 12:06 when they walked in the door. We were at peace because our kids were home. Even as a parent, I always thought, well, once my children get raised and do their thing, I'll be at peace. No, now I worry about them as adults. And when do you find yourself, though it's chaotic, when do you find yourself really at peace in your family is when you're gathered together at the table having a dinner. In other words, when you see they're safe, when you see they're okay, or your son travels up or your daughter travels up from a long ways and she drives or he drives all the way up, what do you tell them when they're heading home? First of all, God be with you, be careful, and call me when you get home. Why? Because you want to sleep that night at peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. He is our rest in God the Father. And God is at peace or at rest when he sees his children abiding within his body. I've been saying lately that Christianity is not a game. Religion is a stupid game. But Christianity is real. And God has so loved each and every one of us, he has invested himself through Christ Jesus in our behalf. And he has given ultimately life to each and every one of us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. His blood has redeemed us, bought us back from our unrest. And now we find peace. What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is being in Christ and knowing him. The Sabbath is not about just taking a day off for 28 minutes and then going out to eat and hanging out with your friends. Those are beautiful things. The ultimate rest is in Christ. It's in knowing him and his blood speaking in our behalf. Do you have that relationship? Do you know above and beyond everything else in this world that God is in your favor? And that Christ has died for you, and his blood in reality pays your debt. Do we have that assurance? Believe it today. For God so loved you, he has given himself in your place. For God so loved you, he hung upon a cross and took your debt. For God so loved you, he raised him up to be our victory. God loves you. He loves me. This is Sabbath. To be at peace and rest in him. We're running out of time. I'd love to go more on that. But he goes into this next part. He says, now he told the parable of those who invited him. He noticed how they had chosen the chief seats, if we could say it. That's more in the temple setting, but here they take the good spots. The people that were invited, they start taking the good spots. A lot of people in church are Christians. They're really good Christians because they all sit in the back. They took this to heart. I'm going to give you an invitation. I won't leave the rail because I was told not to do that. But next week, feel free to come forward. Next week, feel free to sit in these front rows. They're beautiful. So there's your invitation. But the fact of it is, Jesus observes this. You know, there's a lot of people that struggle with pride. I'm one of them. Got it. Pride is a gift that I have. Not a very good gift. Importance. We want to feel important. We feel sometimes this is who we are and people should listen. That's all foolishness. But they come to the get-giddy, they come to the party, and they all take the chief spots. And you know, this could be really sad because what if the guy that called you there, he wanted someone else to sit closer to him? He really had maybe something he wanted to share or something that was going on, but we assume. And really, a lot of it is our insecurities, our pride, our feeling of importance. And so when Jesus observes this, he's going to talk about it. He says, when you're invited, he says, you're invited to a wedding feast. He says, don't sit in the seats of honor. He said, because this could happen. Someone else that the host was thinking of, he actually may bring him up. There may be someone that's more distinguished than you in his eyes. He says, and he who invited both of you will actually have to come to you and say, hey, Dan, you're a little close here. I really wanted, so-and-so to come on up. Do you mind moving back a little bit? I mean, we know how it is as human beings when someone takes our pew. You know? But he's bringing this out in a very interesting way. He's saying, don't assume that your importance is the thing here. Don't assume that your importance in the crowd is really the most important thing. Now, I want you to think about this in a different way. He just got done talking about the Sabbath. He brings it to the understanding the Sabbath is not in reality something that man has to serve, but rather it is there for the man. So I want to say it this way. When your Sabbath is Christ Jesus and you feel the comfort and the peace that you have in being in him, you're not going to worry about your position. You're not going to worry about it. You're not going to have to sit in the chief seats because your identity, your value is not about what we can do. Our rest comes in, we are known by him, and we know him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are a child of a king. What does this world have to offer you? You are a child of a king that has inherited a kingdom. What can this world give you beyond that? You are a child of a king that has been bought back and given the blessings of heaven. What are you going to take from this world? Are you going to bring some pavement to heaven? You know the joke on that. I told you it before. Guy gets all excited to go to heaven and he brings a little box and for some reason God allowed him to bring it. And the angels are thinking, boy, this has got to be really serious here. He let him take something from earth and guy produces a beautiful gold bar. And the angel's like, what did he bring pavement for? The things we see of value are so little to the comparison of what God has given us. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather understand who you are as a child of God. Your position in this world, your position at the party, your position in the meetings does not dictate who you are as a child of God. You are redeemed. You are blessed. You are highly favored. And so he says very plainly, everyone that will lift themselves up, they will be humbled. But everybody in reality that humbles himself, and this is a very interesting point. So now do we self-deprivate? No. I do it in messages sometimes because, to tell you the truth, if I started picking on John, he'd get angry and leave. Maybe he wouldn't. But anyways, I can pick on myself because I can't leave. I've tried. God says, no, you're staying. But do you see the point? It's not about self-deprivating. Really, what this talks about is picking up your cross and following him. Keeping out of it. Don't try to lift yourself up and don't try to put yourself down. Trust in your Sabbath. Jesus the Christ, the one who gives you rest in all of the storms. Look to him. That's what he's trying to tell us. Don't look at your position in the world. Don't look at your position in your jobs. Don't look at your position on a board or not on a board, or where you sit in church or where you don't sit in church. Look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I love whoever designed this church. I know Zion Builders did. But there's a cross up there. That's what I look at every time I make a statement like that in the glass. Look to that. And I see an empty cross because Christ Jesus is risen. So anyways, he says, but when you are going to go do a dinner, once again, leave position out of it. Serve. Serve those that can't help. Serve those that have need. You know, don't invite Raz out to lunch because you know he'll pay for yours next week. Actually, Raz never lets me pay, so I'll invite him anytime. But serve those who are in need. Isn't that what Scripture says? They will know you are my disciples by what? How you love one another. It's not in categories of position. It's to love one another equally, unconditionally, as God the Father loves us. So he says, don't try to do this because all you're doing is looking for someone to repay you back when you do this. He says, it's not about the good old boys club. He says, you'll actually be blessed all the more because God the Father will take care of you. This is really what he talks about. The Sabbath, what is it? At least for me, it is Christ Jesus and him alone. He is my rest. He is my peace. He is my comfort. And where is my position? I'll be honest with you. I'm a child of God. I am one that God has loved and given his life for. Emmanuel, God with us. May we remember that as we enter out into this world, as we share this gospel with different people. May we understand and know the Sabbath is not a day that we worship. The Sabbath is the one that has given me my freedom, my peace, and my comfort. And yes, this same Sabbath will also bring conviction by his word and his spirit. But it's not my job. So brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that you know Christ Jesus. I pray that you know him intimately. And I pray that if you don't know him, that you would please feel free to come and speak. We'll pray, we'll study, we'll do whatever we got to do. But he is your all in all. It's not a game. It's for keeps. It's for eternity. We are blessed beyond all measure. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that even though in the fallenness of human beings there was a trap that was set, but yet, Father, by the power of your Spirit and the wisdom of Christ, you speak truth. That, Father, we would find our peace and our rest, our Sabbath in Christ and him alone. And we pray, Father, that we would not worship days or systems, but rather know that immeasurable grace. Allow us to be that candle set upon the table. Father, we ask that you'd be with us in the upcoming week, that you would allow us to know our position, that it is a child of God, and that alone. And yet, as a child of God, you see for our provision, you see for our care, and for each and everything that we have need of. So we thank you for that. But as a light, may we enter into this world and bring hope, bring comfort, and bring peace to each and every one that we encounter, all for your honor and glory. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us. Give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join us in singing.